Dave Schwartz is with us, streaming live on the WCCO Radio YouTube channel as well. Hi, Dave.
Good afternoon, Jason and Dan. How are you?
I'm outstanding. Outstanding. I created a bit of a social media kerfuffle yesterday.
Oh, boy.
By pointing out that I believe that it's a good thing for people to try to get paid more. So... And I even couched,
how dare you?
I know, I even couched my belief on this by not going full in. And I said, imagine cheering against any worker for trying to get a raise. Do you own the business? I want everyone to work hard, be valuable, and try to get paid more. I was talking about the WNBA players who came out at the All-Star game with the pay us what you owe us. And there is a sort of shocking amount of people who I just assume hate women or hate women's basketball who are so obsessed with the fact that the WNBA supposedly is losing money. Do you have a problem with people trying to get paid more money, Dave Schwartz?
No, I don't. And I feel like in sports, we've had this conversation for decades now, when a player who gets a contract offer from somewhere else and it's slightly higher, takes that contract. They go, how could they do that? They're turning their back on us. If you had the opportunity to, whatever you do, if you are a bricklayer and there is another company that's going to pay you $5 more an hour, I would absolutely endorse you taking it. Of course you would. I would say the same thing. So these negotiations are really interesting because to the way I understand it, each side is only telling part of the truth, right?
Correct.
I mean, there's part here. Is the WNBA making money hand over fist, and they're all dancing around in their Scrooge McDuck style money craters? No, I don't. Are they losing money? I don't know if they're losing that much. Sports is not always as profitable as business as everybody
right.
thinks. Now,
the money is
NFL,
in the value
the
of
yes,
the
in the valuation of it.
The franchise. So you don't get it till you sell.
Right. And this idea that, the Valkyrie is worth this and all that, I don't know that that necessarily plays into it. But what I look at immediately and what really stands out to me is the number that 9.3% of the revenue is all that the WNBA players are getting. And that's, to me, egregious. When you look at other leagues, look at the NBA, the NBA players make between 49% and 51%. It's basically a 50-50 split. Now, the NBA has been around longer. The numbers are bigger, and there's a longer season. There's more teams. All of that factors into it. But again, break it down to what it is. 9.3% is what the WNBA players are getting. 50% is what the NBA players are getting. That's a huge gap to me that both sides, I think, need to come together on to make this work and to actually have this be somewhat equitable.
Yeah. And it is a funny phenomena. And I think fans sometimes feel you see this like in the reaction to how much Joe Mauer got paid, where fans right. acted like they were writing the check. But in that scenario, like, you worry, okay, could we be using this money to do other things? In the WNBA scenario, to me, it's just like, there's no explanation as to why anyone wouldn't be cheering for the players to get more money. You want the owners to have more money? Like, who are we cheering for here? It's not costing you anything. And they have a new TV deal coming. So that when the new TV deal comes in, the WNBA will be profitable, is my understanding. Either way, I don't even care. I'm like, if somebody wants to try to get more money, good. Try to get more money.
Let them get more money.
Why
Absolutely.
Is this so hard?
And when you look at the... Again, we're talking about sports, right? I mean, so salaries and everything are always inflating. People say, oh, they can't live on, $102,000 a year. Well, that's fine. But, a male player in a different league is making seven times that,
right.
for the league minimum.
And they're just talking percentage. It's just percentage. Yeah. It's not even, no one's asking to make NBA money.
No. And I think, you know, I was reading a little bit the comments from, I think it's the commissioner of the WNBA, yeah. Kathy Engelhardt. And it does sound to me like there's something will get done here. This isn't an impasse point. I would be shocked if this really got to the point of where, you know, the players might walk out. I think it's just a matter of figuring out all the numbers and saying, okay, here's all we're going to make next year. Here's what we can stand to make sure we give up. We need right. to give this to the players, because you're right. I mean, women's sports, women's basketball viewership is at an all-time high. It's massive. And for the players, salaries to not reflect that they're still working on this CBA from, I think it's 5 or 6 years ago. It's silly. It needs to be redone, and it needs to reflect the current environment.
How about Nafisa Collier at the WNBA All-Star game, though? Just unbelievable performance by her.
She's so good. I mean, you always think, like, you get to you have these All-Stars and you're like, okay, they're the best on our team, but how are they going to fare against the best of the best, right? And she's so good. She's just such an outstanding player. She takes over the game, even in a game like that where you're facing off against the best. She's so much fun to watch. And then we're, you know, I feel like we said this a lot when Maya Moore was here too, and I felt it, that we're just kind of lucky to be able to watch this caliber of a player play basketball. Yeah. I felt that way with Maya Moore when she was here for the short time it was, and I feel that way with Nafisa Collier.
Vikings training camp starts this week. Will anyone talk about anything other than J.J. McCarthy? Is that going to be the only topic will be the quarterback?
Are we allowed to, I think, is the question.
Yeah. What else could we talk about?
Well, it'll be interesting because you've got, what, like 20 days of stories that these guys have to file now, and they can't all be about J.J. McCarthy.
I disagree. McCarthy, they can all be about J.J. McCarthy. 100%.
Like week one.
Suhan got started this weekend. He's like, well, man, you know, just this is what I'm going to do.
My favorite part is right around state fair time, a little before, when we start getting articles and TV stories about the backup punter situation or the reserve long snapper. That was always my, like, all right, you'd block out your stories. Okay, here's first week, here's second week. All right, yeah, we'll talk about that long snapping competition on week three when we're just in the doldrums of this. But everyone's going to talk about him. There's no way not to. And I think I would assume the kid's ready for it. I would assume they've prepared him well, that every single eye is going to be on him. And it's just a matter. Now it's all his team. The good thing is he's got a year under his belt of at least learning, which is I do think that there is a difference in coming into camp fresh out of college. You're not only not used to this type of microscope like the NFL is, but you have also had the chance to sit and learn there's no telling, I'm sure we'll hear, about all he learned from Sam Darnold about being a young, unproven rookie and having to forge your way. So how much did he take in? How much of that did he absorb? And how much is that going to help him here going through these first few weeks and then the first weeks of the season, I think, will be really interesting to see.
Yeah, I think it's going to be great. I will say, like, I sort of miss training camp being in Mankato, you know?
Oh, I loved it. Yeah. It was my favorite. I loved going to Mankato. It was because it was the fun thing about it was a chance to get to know the players away from the camp, away from coaches. You got to talk with a guy while he rode his bike over to practice and sit and chat with him. But that's the way, you know, you used to, you get those stories. You'd get to know a guy by sitting there, you know, shooting the bull with him as he's waiting for practice or as he's walking in. Now, this is just the way the NFL is. The Vikings are not exclusive to the situation. It's so much more closed off they're in their facility. They come out one door, they go to the field. You can maybe catch them on the way and then you go. And there's no time to just really get a chance to get a rapport with players like we used to be able to. So Mankato was always my favorite time of year. You didn't have to go to the office. You were just out there on the grind every day for a couple weeks.
Dave Schwartz is with us. We're going to talk a little bit of Twins. Not a good weekend in Denver for the Minnesota Twins. What does that mean? Are we about to break this all down and break it all apart for parts? We'll talk about that. And get the temp of the team with Dave in just a minute. Want to share a little bit of breaking news that was just in the Star Tribune, and that is that a Republican state senator, Bruce Anderson, has unexpectedly died. He died today, and he was in the Senate since 2013 and the House since 1995. So Republican state senator who died today. So that update just in the Star Tribune, and a lot of social media on that. So we'll another special election to fill that seat in a very Republican part of the state. Drive Time back with Dave Schwartz in just a minute here on CCO.
Let's take the current temp of your Minnesota Twins. Brought to you by Chef IQ Sense. Get your wireless meat thermometer now at chefiq.com.
All right, temp of the team for the Twins after this weekend, Dave Schwartz. I mean,
it's not great.
Chilly. I am feeling chilly after even after the wonderful Royce White performance on Sunday.
It's a great finish to what was a terrible series. I mean, you come out of the gate at the All-Star break and drop two to a Rockies team that they're so far below.
Did I say Royce White, by the way? Cook was trying to be nice and not immediately. That would have been something if Senate candidate Royce White. He was a great basketball. He's a great ball player.
He's great. He'd have to take a bus out there, though. I don't believe he flies. He doesn't fly.
That's true.
I believe is it.
Royce Lewis. Yes, who I'm thinking.
Yeah, this is an interesting time here because I think in another year with stable ownership, this would be it's time to sell.
Yep, being sort of a no-brainer, right?
Yeah, but not only do you not have the stable ownership right now, the market and what they have available is not great because you've got two guys with no trade clauses. Byron Buxton, who's having a phenomenal year,
yep,
and is salary friendly, but doesn't want to leave. And, you know, but however, with the year he's having, this might be the most tradable he's ever been with between health and numbers. And then you've got Carlos Correa, who's got a huge contract and having a terrible season. So like, you know, which of the two guys, I think that are the most tradable, neither one of those is a great situation to me.
Royce Lewis did have a one-on-one with Rocco. He was benched, wasn't he, on Sunday? He wasn't in the lineup. Or on Saturday he was benched, and then Sunday just beat the tar out of the ball, which does, like, we're five games out of the wild card.
Yeah.
To me, I hate to say it, but it's...
And you just lost two of three to perhaps the worst team in the history of Major League Baseball.
It's so bad, other than the White Sox.
But your point of like, and Dan, like, is there value to be had? Like, yes, would you sell? Sure, but sell for what?
Well,
is
the question. The trouble is that the guys that would bring you the most value are guys like Joe Ryan or Johan Duran or Griffin Jacks, where you have them under control for more than one season. But if you're trading guys like those, you're talking about a strip it down to the bare bones and let's start over.
And
I don't think that's not what you want to do when if you're Derek Falvey and you're trying to impress whoever this new owner is going to be.
Yeah, most of the team-controlled guys, I think, through 27 are pitchers. I mean, you're going to end up, if you get rid of them, and we all know that that's been like the weakest point for this team, I think, other than maybe this year, but for the last few years. So, and you got to have pitching. It really is a perfect storm, I think, for this franchise right now that they on a normal year, they could do something, but they can't this year because now they're not sure about ownership and all that. I mean, it's just, what do you do? There's no easy answer.
Dave Schwartz, you caught a couple fish this weekend, right? Is that true?
I caught one. My daughter caught like eight. She outfished me greatly yesterday, which I was perfectly okay with. But the deal is whoever catches more fish gets the bigger blizzard at DQ. So she got the bigger one last night.
You got the mini size? And
no, I caught so few, I only got bites of hers. I wasn't even allowed.
What's her go-to? What are the kids doing with blizzards these days?
What is it? It's the one with the little, it's the cotton candy one.
Oh, yeah. I tried that.
That's where dad tax is in full effect.
For sure.
Yep.
No doubt.
Yep.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it. We'll see you next week.
All right.
Dave Schwartz, Henry Lake, and Tubbsy coming up.